Hi guys, my name is Ruhan.
And my name is Akash, and welcome to our first ever podcast of our show, Runs and Acceleration. So basically, we are two university students, and we love having conversations about two sports that we really enjoy, cricket and Formula One.
This is just for fun. This is something for fellow enthusiasts like us, but also for people who are just getting into the sport or want to give either of them a try. So we're trying to be relatable to, newcomers or beginners of the sport as well. So we'll try and keep it really simple. And most podcasts will focus on one sport in particular. So if you're doing an F1 podcast, there won't be anything about cricket and so on. So it's easier to follow. Now, we've loved to talk about Formula One and cricket for years in whatever way we can, sharing memes, news articles about what's happening. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned from each of the sports. We've learned a lot, and I think a lot of people have shared their lessons learned. So we thought, since these are two global sports, sharing about them on a public platform, so maybe we could connect with more people who have an interest like us, but also maybe we could connect and expand the base and meet more like-minded people or someone who wants to hear these things or wants to learn more about, maybe we can bridge the gap in that sense. So that's our purpose here, and we hope you enjoy watching it.
Yeah, so sit back and enjoy, and we'll go through and welcome to our first episode, essentially. So I think firstly, one thing both Ruhan and I definitely wanted to talk about was we've got a massive event coming up in cricket as the World Test Championship looms over in a few weeks. So I think it's really important that we do a little bit of a preview on that. We've got two great teams, India and New Zealand, going up against each other with great test records now, and with really, really strong teams. So I think we will start with India. So let's maybe we could do a little bit of context, maybe on a few of the series. So I think we should start at Australia, right? From where? Yeah, I think everything. I think everyone has to start there. From where I think India started with being bowled out 36 and just what was it? A
Their
session and a half.
lowest
Yeah,
ever test
something
total.
like that. It was a session and a half. It was crazy. Just a crazy, crazy game. I remember one of the commentators saying that you just have to put the ball there and it would find the edge. It would find the
And
edge and go
Indians will
straight.
nick it, and that
Yeah,
happened
it
right there.
was. Yeah. But I think the one thing, to be honest, I've seen Indian teams go to Australia before, and I feel it was almost considered impossible to win in Australia. But I think, I mean, how do you, I mean, what are your thoughts about this? That, I think this Indian team is probably, I think the heart of the fight is really, really there in this team that we see. Yeah.
So I think for me, this, I've watched highlights of a lot of earlier series. I'm a big fan of Sachin. So, I've watched series when he used to play. And I think the key difference between our teams then and now, it's not talent, because we had a lot of talent back then. It's the fighting spirit and that X factor to deliver in the most pressure-based situations. Because we've always had some great batsmen, Sachin or Kohli versus a Dhoni. All these players have been there. But when it comes to the point where maybe one of them is not firing, who's going to step up? That's where we had our weakness. And I think it's very important to mention that the biggest takeaway from this series was our young bowlers. I think before the Gabba test, when the series was level 1-1, and for those who don't know, Gabba, the stadium in Brisbane, is Australia's biggest fortress. They hadn't lost the test there for 32 years. And we had a terrible record there. So going into that, there was a stat which said that Australian bowlers had taken a total of 1,013 wickets together,
And
whereas
we
the
had
Indian
taken
attack going
13. Yeah.
13,
Yeah, I remember
because
that. Yeah.
in the infamous 36 all-out first test match that we lost badly, we lost our premier swing bowler Shami. And I think Bumrah was injured in the third test match. And Umesh Yadav also was ruled out. So the three fast bowlers we went with were all ruled out. And our three net bowlers who were just there to give batting practice became our frontline seamers. And for them to go about and deliver the results that they did, it just shows the caliber they have. And also Washington Sundar as a youngster, just a couple of years older than us, I think, 24,
Yeah, 20, 22, something like that. Yeah. No, I think that's, when you think about it, that's actually kind of insane, because when you actually look at that Australia lineup, it's really, really decent. I think it's a really good lineup, and I think
Definitely.
before you know, when India won in Australia a few years ago, people thought, oh, because there was no Steve Smith, no David Warner, the team was sort of in like, not shambles, but they were trying to, you know, find themselves, you know, rebuild their character and everything like that. These are quotes from their Amazon Prime show. But no, I mean, they were really trying to find
Test.
them. They were really trying to find themselves. And I think, you know, they've had some excellent, they played some excellent cricket, great stuff in the Ashes before. They
Definitely.
had they destroyed Pakistan when they came there. They just had so much success already, and I think that's just having, you know, breaching the GABA essentially. So it's probably like, I think for many of fans, it was, they'll never forget this moment.
And I think it's also important to mention the GABA, breaching the GABA was only made possible by the previous test, the Sydney test match. For those who don't know, India was down and out chasing an unwinnable total of around 400 on the last day on a pitch that was turning squares, seaming, bouncing. And we had one of the best partnerships, a couple of great partnerships. Firstly, Pujara and Pant, ice and fire. Pujara 50 of 200 balls, Pant 50 of 30 balls,
Yeah, something
and
like that.
the way they, and they dominated. And after they got out, a lot of people switched off the television sets. I remember it was the first day of our new semesters in school, and during classes we were keeping track of the match. And one of our players, Hanuma Vihari, he tore his hamstring, yet he batted for 3 hours against that bowling attack.
And
And Ashwin with
also,
back pain.
yeah, Ashwin, apparently Ashwin couldn't even get up, and like he couldn't even like sleep the entire day or something like that, because his back was essentially gone. So, and they were like trying to
And
fight for that
Jadeja
as
had a
well.
broken thumb. He wasn't even supposed to bat, but
So
he was going to take an
if a
injection to
wicket
bat.
fell, if a wicket fell, it was kind of, I don't even think people, I can't even think like that. Then I don't even know where we would be. But no, I think that draw kind of signaled a lot of things, because I think the when you saw Pujara and Pant, and maybe this can be a little bit more of a segue into those players specifically, but I think when we see Pujara and Pant, you said fire and ice, it was purely like that. We had Pant said, you know what, let's do this. You know, I'm only going to get this opportunity really once in my life to come here and like actually make my statement. Let me make my statement. You know, he's already been, he'd copped a lot of criticism of first keeping, and then people had said, you know,
Comparing him
with
to Dhoni.
comparing him to Dhoni, comparing him to Wirdhman Saha, because, you know, essentially he's the better keeper. But, you know, all those little things, and he's just like, you know what, my natural game is to play freely. If I get out playing, you know, a rash shot, who cares? Like, I think that's the kind of mentality where I think Pant had that, not not sorry, Pujara had that mentality of, look, I'm here to like block as much. And, you know, if say Pant goes for a rash shot or something like that, there's still me. I can fight for the draw here. I can do. I'm gonna tire them out. And I definitely think that when you see from Sydney to Gabba, making the Australians bowl so many overs. I remember they took it to almost that last over. There was only like one over remaining. They didn't bowl the last over because they didn't. It was like pointless.
What,
But like
120 overs or
something
something
like
in
that, yeah.
Sydney?
And then going straight away to Gabba, I think it was also a little bit of a quicker turnaround. I remember it must have been like super tiring for the bowlers to go there and actually, you know, execute and deliver. So I think for me, Australia was a points of, we had the highest of highs of winning the GABA, we had the lowest of lows with the 36, we had so many different kinds of
And doing
moments.
all that without our captain and the world's best batsman, Virat Kohli went home after the first test. We didn't have him. We didn't have, the main guy at number four. And to win without him, I don't know. It was just amazing. And not to mention in the GABA test, we were behind. We were almost in a situation where we'd have to follow on. We were more than 200 runs behind and 6 wickets down. A young Washington Sundar and a Shardul Thakur, both of whom have not really even played for India that much. Their debut test matches score 150 runs together, get us almost to par, and then the last day chase again with Pujara just taking so many blows, getting breaking his fingers, his head. I don't know how many injuries he must have
Yeah,
caught there.
no. It was like I literally thought like it was like you had like a wounded like boxer going up against in that la in like a last round, just taking all the
Yeah.
punches, just trying to last until the bell rings, essentially like that.
Yeah.
But no, it was kind of, I think in a weird way, I think when even when you look at sports sometimes, I don't know, I just feel it was inspiring to see that, like in a
Definitely.
weird way. Like I don't usually say that a lot. I mean, if your team wins, you know, you're like super amped up and
Yeah.
everything like that. But I think we before this test series, I kind of had the feeling, you know what? I think Australia, they got the better team. They've got the better team. They've got the better lineup and everything like that. You know, especially on their home conditions. But
Exactly.
I think India just proved everyone that like it doesn't matter
You know,
what kind of condition.
to beat Australia, the Australia's A team with Steve Smith, who
Yeah.
scored centuries as well. He was in form, Labuschagne
Labuschagne.
was,
Yeah.
all of them in form, beating them in their own backyard. And we know Australia is the most hostile of places for a visiting team. And for us to do it not just with a B team, but more like a C team, where half the players were literally making their debuts towards the last match of the tournament. And to win that series, I think, was the biggest litmus test a team can ever pass. And I think it's as big as a World Cup win. It'll go down as, you know, one of the greatest touring
Of
sides of
course.
all time to achieve what they did.
Yeah. And I think one thing we were talking about, you know, after Kohli left and, you know, his there was some, you know, the talk about, you know, how he had to go back for the birth of his child, everything
Yes.
like that. And I think a lot of people were concerned about, you know, we don't have a Kohli, so who's going to come as captain? But I like to think we got a silent assassin in
In Rahane.
Rahane. In Rahane, just he's so he's such a, I mean, I was looking at, you know, that Gabba in that Gabba win. He was just sitting super
Yeah.
calm, everything like that, but went on the field, put out like some of the most aggressive fields I've ever seen from an Indian team.
Yeah, I've
And
never seen that from even a Dhoni. Virat is known to be a more defensive captain. I know he's very aggressive on the field in terms of his emotions, but as a captain, he's always looking to save runs. Whereas Rahane was like, I don't care if he hits you for 10 runs in an over, he hits you a couple of boundaries. If there's a chance you can nick him off, put the fielders in.
Yeah. No, I just think that also, like, you know, bringing up the field sometimes and having some more fielders just around the batsman just kind of affects them psychologically. It's not gonna, it might not do
Definitely.
anything. It might not do anything. It did it sometimes, not all the time, but it was really just, you know, you might have a little bit of a small little chatter here and there. So I think
Mind
that's why,
games, yeah.
yeah, something like that. So I thought that was something really, really interesting.
I think that's why I'll say for the upcoming Test Championship, you know, I don't think New Zealand can get complacent because he still is our vice captain with Kohli back. I think he's going to be a player to watch because he also scored one of the best hundreds I've seen in a Boxing Day Test match
Oh yeah.
on a day where the ball was swinging like anything. You have the world's fastest, most lethal bowling attack, and he stays there, scores a century in overcast conditions in front of that crowd. Amazing.
Yeah, no, I was it was that century just highlighted to me that it was all I was hearing, you know, a lot of like the chatter after what happened in that first test in Adelaide, that there was a lot of things of, you know, let's not try to overthink, overanalyze. Look, we just had a bad day, we just had a bad session, we're just gonna rule it out as that. And I think that India know that that's not them, they were just outplayed that day, and you're gonna have those kinds of moments.
Definitely.
So I think just, you know, just not overthinking about those things that sometimes was, you know, really, really good. And, you know, having all kinds of players contributing. I remember even, I mean, after Rahane, I think even, I remember Jadeja made a pretty handy knock of some 50 odd or something like that. So all
Yeah.
those little contributions at the end, they mattered so much. I think even Shubman's form also came to, Shubman Gill's form came to, came, we came to
Yeah.
see, you know, how talented the young guy is. And I think there was, I think from Australia, maybe we can now move on to the next series, maybe in England, and I mean against England that happened
Against England.
and in India. I think there was a lot of expectations on them in a way.
Yeah. And it didn't start off great. We lost the first test in
Pretty
Chennai
badly, I would have to
pretty
say.
poorly.
Yeah, pretty bad. Yeah.
Root, their captain, scored 200 something.
Yeah.
He swept his way, he swept us out of the game basically. They batted for more than almost 2.5 days, half a test
Something.
match, and we couldn't get them out at all. And then we came to bat. And we were seeing, Pujara came in, he got a quick 550, Pant was looking great, he was on 60, 70 odd, and we were like, oh, it's back to that. But then both, I think Pujara had one of the unluckiest dismissals you can have. He tried to play a shot off the back foot, hit a close in fielder on the
Yeah, it
chest or
was like the
something, and just,
back or something, like the back or
yeah,
shoulder,
back
like
or
on the shoulder
something, and
blade.
it just popped up, which a freak incident. And then Pant got out playing a punch shot, which you kind of understand. And suddenly, we were down and out. Kohli wasn't great, in great form then. And our bowling was a little off, but I think again, it just shows for us to win that series again. It shows the ability to fight back. And it does scare me a little that we take like one match to warm up. The first one in the series we lose, and then we'll come back to win because the world final is just one test match. So you're not going to get that leeway.
Yeah,
But
I think that's definitely one thing, but I feel that when sometimes when maybe I don't know what your thoughts about this, that when the expectations, like there's, I mean, India already has so many expectations, but when it's kind of gets to a
always,
really,
yeah.
really heightened level, like that kind of level where, okay, they're going in as massive, massive favorites into this test. I think that's when, they kind of maybe just crack under the pressure in that first test, and then they kind of need that mental reset. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's happened before. I know no cricket fan likes to talk, Indian cricket fan likes to talk about this match, but the 2017 Champions Trophy final against Pakistan. I remember I was in the restaurant with my family, and they were showing the match preview on TV. And there were already animations that Kohli is going to come and lift the World Cup because he's like the Bahubali of cricket. All these kind of jokes were in the media, everything like that. And I remember my grandfather telling me that, don't get so excited. There's still 100 overs to be played. And that's exactly what happened. Their opening batsman, who we had clear plans against, who was the biggest danger, Fakhar Zaman, we got him out very cheaply, but then Bumrah bowled a no ball on that. That cost us, and the guy goes on to score a quick 500. Pakistan just take us out of the game, almost take us out of the game in the first innings itself. Chasing, we lose Rohit, Shikhar, and Virat, our big three, within what, 5 overs? And again,
The
I know
Karthik.
Hardik Pandya came and played a blinder of a knock, but I do believe by then it was really late,
Yeah, it was like a
and it
lost
was
cause
again an
almost.
exam. Yeah, definitely. And it's not the first time it's happened. I was actually analyzing since the last Champions Trophy win we had under Dhoni, we lost the 2014 final in the T20 World Cup. Then in 2016, we again lost the T20 World Cup in the semis at home, which we really shouldn't have lost. There were at least three no balls bowled in that test match for Simmons, and he scored some 90 odd, which changed the game. In the 2015 World Cup again, semi-final stage, 2019 again, the infamous semi-final with the Dhoni run out. But again, our top order failed there again. We lost 3 wickets within 10 overs. So I think when it comes to those very crucial stages, for some reason, we haven't been able to fire. And that's why I said that this 2-0 win against Australia, we were able to win those big moments, those X factor moments. So I do have more hope, but I'm still circumspect based on our history.
Yeah, I think more a little bit like just going on more about that. I definitely think that when we look at India, it's we always see them, performing kind of, in the 2019 World Cup, they were like I thought personally that they were one of probably the I think them and England were probably the best teams in the in that tournament. And then Australia was starting to come up again. They found good form in Warner and Finch, and Stark was literally bowling like crazy that time. So I think everything kind of was coming together. People thought it was all gonna be, us possibly lifting a World Cup away from home. And I think if we I think the more we kind of do it away from home, the
The bigger
the
it is, true.
significance, yeah, the significance goes up way more. But yeah, I definitely think that Australia, that this Australia series kind of changed a lot of like people's thinking that, you know what, like I also feel that there's that mentality like, okay, who cares? You know, it's like, it's, let's just
Exactly.
go out there and let's just go play our cricket, you know?
Yeah.
We let's try to shut off everyone and let's get into it. So I think I just want to kind of go on to our next kind of thing. And it's kind of a question I've got for you is, you know, when we look at India, especially when we're looking at this next World Test Championship, who do you think, you know, maybe back in the day, India's pace bowling attack was nothing to be, you know, we had guys like Zahir Khan, Ajit Agarkar, maybe all the way back.
But it
couple
wasn't
of days.
something to be
Yeah, it was nothing
really
like, you know,
confident
to
in.
be talking about, you know, that we had, that other teams have had. So where do you think, you know, for like India's maybe fast bowling lineup, because there's quite a few options now after we've seen from Australia, that you know, we've got such a good kind of bench squad and reserve squad. Who do you think kind of stands out for you and like maybe a few players? Yeah.
I think I've never seen anyone have the swing, you know, the position of the ball and the perfect seam and produce swing like Shami.
Mm-hmm.
He's had quite a few injuries. He's quite injury prone, so I'm a little circumspect again. But he's definitely my biggest pick.
Yeah.
But it's also important to note that Ishan Sharma, you know, his infamous spell of 7 for 74 at Lords, that victory. He has been a revelation in his last 20 test matches. I saw some stat which said in his first 80, he was averaging 35 runs a wicket. And the last 20, he's averaging just 19 or 18. He's almost cut it by half. And for someone his height to bowl that full, it's very difficult. But when he does, he is almost unplayable.
Yep.
And I think for the first time heading into a championship, our bowling is our main strength. Because I do believe with New Zealand's bowling attack, which we'll explain further, is definitely one that's going to challenge India. It's challenged them before. In fact, the 2019 semi-final we just talked about, the very similar bowling attack, many of the same players, caused a lot of trouble to us to knock us out. So I feel if we have a chance, it's going to be mainly from bowling because it's also England.
Yeah.
With Bumrah, Shami and Ishan, who I think will be the three pacers picked. Can they take at least, I think, 15 or 16 wickets with Ashwin and Jadeja? I don't know if Jadeja will play, but Ashwin should play definitely as the spinning option. And if he can get a couple of wickets, can we take those 20 wickets in a test match? Because I think that's going to decide who takes the trophy home.
Yeah. And I think when you're talking about the bowling, I for me personally, I think you kind of have to kind of segue straight away into New Zealand's batting. And I think for me, New Zealand's batting surrounds kind of around Williamson in every sense, because I truly think that he's probably the greatest batsman in right now, because, you know, any kinds of conditions, doesn't matter if it's swinging, flat, stopping, doesn't really matter. You know, he finds a way to score and finds a way to score a run. But, you know, I think what, you know, we've just, you know, just England and New Zealand just played recent, just played like actually today or
yesterday.
Whatever, right, like that.
Yeah.
So, they drew the match, but I think you're finding, you know, little heroes and like, Devin Conway, that's like, that was actually the main other person.
200 on debut at Lords.
But at age 29. So where has this guy been actually? Yeah. Where has he been?
Yeah.
So, but no, it was super impressive. They've got guys like Latham who were really, really consistent back in like 2019, I remember. I think the one thing I think what India kind of have to treat each and every batsman, I think, as a threat, in a sense, and not just say that, you know, we have, you know, that star Ron Williamson that if we pick up his wicket, I mean, it's great, but it's not going to guarantee you a victory.
And
or anything.
I think, yeah, you bring up a very good point, because we have been the victims of overconfidence, in the sense a lot of big matches we've lost. It's not that the player you were expecting it from, you know, like a Williamson came and smashed you for 100 or 200. It's actually not happened like that. Most of the times we'll get the David Warners and Steve Smiths out quickly, but then it'll be the guy you didn't really expect. Or you weren't really prepared for. You were like, okay, he's just another batsman in the lineup, and they come and destroy the whole match for you. like Maxwell in 20 in the 2015 World Cup semi-final, no one was really expecting him to do anything. He wasn't in great form. We took him lightly, and you know, his innings basically changed the game. And this has happened with India quite a few times. In fact, since it is with New Zealand, and this was actually before our time, if this was in 2000, an ICC knockout trophy, like the Champions Trophy. We were playing against New Zealand in the final, and they needed to chase some 270 odd, and we got them 80 for five, something like that. And we thought, you know, we'd won the game, everything like that. Somehow, they had two all-rounders who came and took the game away from us from there, because we were expecting we'd already won. So I think it's that thing where you know, our set pieces work, our set plans for certain batsmen work, but as a whole, we sometimes forget that we need to take all 10 wickets. And that's been the biggest challenge for us.
No, because the one thing also, I think with New Zealand, that maybe they kind of have a one, they have a one up against India, is that they kind of bat a little bit deep. I was just watching like Neil Wagner, like, man, he was making some incredible shots. It was so impressive.
A number 10, 11. Right?
And I think he came at number 10 or number 11, something like that. But they can, at least, you know, they can swing around the bat at least. And I would say we sometimes kind of forget how important the lower order runs can be, but those can be the difference between establishing that kind of, you know, 60 run lead that, you know, you might need or something. But I'm just looking at, you know, both the lineups, and I'm thinking, really, I think for me, I think this is going to be really a test of, you know, who's going to bowl better. Especially on England tracks. If India can somehow cope with that swinging ball and kind of cope with the reverse swing at Southampton, and if the New Zealand batsmen can cope with the swing and everything like that of India, and just kind of the discipline that you see with Shami and Ishant and everyone and Bumrah, and just those kind of the trickery from Ashwin also, I think if they're both quite equally matched, and you can tell that, like, you know, pretty quickly sometimes, you know, based on how the days play. So I think if it's kind of equally matched, then I don't know if we can really like see who's going to be like really winning this then, to be honest.
True. And I think if that happens, then it's fair that both teams take home the title or share the title. But that's the best thing about Test cricket. You can have 3 days where it's looking like, you know, this test match is going nowhere, it's going to be a simple draw, you know, everything is fine, this team is just dominating the other, or they're just matching each other. And there's just that 10 minutes of a session can, you know, change a game so quickly. And that's the main thing. For India, it was not a 10-minute session, but maybe a half an hour in that session in Gabba, where we were like, what, six down, and Washington, Sundar, and Shardul decided they're not going to hang around. We thought, okay, they're going to try and hang around till tea, maybe something like that. They were like, no, we're just going to hit. And that 40-odd runs before tea just changed the whole complexion of the game, and suddenly Australia was on the back. So these momentum shifts can happen a lot because there's also 5 days. So that's why I think we both love Test cricket, because we know that even though many people joke about how it's 5 days and you can still not get a result, it's actually one of the most strategic games you can ever play in sports.
Because there's like a battle within a battle within a battle, almost like that.
Exactly. Every day, every session, every over, something can happen that can change it. And there's so many twists and turns to it. You know, it is like a chess match. You can, sometimes you pick bowlers, and this is maybe more, you know, for those who follow cricket a lot, but just to simplify, sometimes you don't pick bowlers because they're very good. You just pick them because they're really tall, like it was for Ishant Sharma, because he's more than 6 feet tall. He has really large feet, and he has a heavy foot when he lands on the pitch. And when he does that, he breaks apart the pitch. And as the days go on, if he just keeps doing that, then from the other end, when Ashwin bowls, it creates a rough for him. Where you place the ball, if the ball bounces there, it can spin sharply and it can create a lot of trouble for the batsman. It's just one example of how you can, there's a lot of strategies going on more than just the pure ability of the player. So I think now moving on, we've talked about the Indian bowlers. It's really important to talk about the New Zealand bowlers. And I think that's what I'd like to ask you, like, who do you think from the New Zealand lineup is going to be our biggest threat, and who might be the one we're not really expecting but should be very careful of?
Okay. I think there's a few things there. Definitely, I think New Zealand possibly has one of the best pace bowling attacks I've ever seen in the world, without a doubt. But I think a lot of people want to say, I think Tim Southee and Trent Bolt, because they're swinging the ball a lot, and everyone kind of has that feeling, oh yeah, India are going to struggle with the swinging ball. I definitely believe that they're the threats. But I think for me personally, I want to give it to, I think someone like Neil Wagner. I think Neil Wagner is probably going to be the toughest bowler to face, just because he's not a massive swinger. He kind of reminds me kind of like a, you know, like he's a left armer kind of Glenn McGrath. He puts it in areas where, you know, I feel like as a batsman, it would be so annoying to play him. You know, I was watching a few kind of, if you remember from when New Zealand and Australia were playing in Australia, he kept on hitting Wade and Smith and everything. It was just like, it's so metronomic. You can't even do, you know, you have to be inventive with your shots, and then they can set a leg side field, you know, for your pull shots or whatever like that. So you have to really be very kind of play in a different style, and he'll exploit that. So I think that's the issue for India, is that, you know, just that, how much discipline do they have? You know, if say Wagner is going up, you know, putting up a very good spell up against someone like Pant, you know, how long until he cracks or something like that? Does he come down?
And can he see off that spell and just have that sense that, you know, there's runs to be scored at the other end as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I think it's someone like him. I also think someone like Kyle Jameson, because I've noticed the guys who get the extra bounce really we do really struggle with that. So just that little bit of extra bounce can kind of, you know, start you know, we can just get into that frame of mind of a very kind of, I would say, very defensive and a little bit of a scared kind of frame of mind that, oh yeah, we can't really do anything about it or something like that. So I definitely think that if we can find a way to cope with it, it's going to be pretty tough given the conditions and given England and everything like that. I don't know if the weather forecast or anything like that has been there, if it's going to be overcast or not, but you know, I think it's, I'm personally just intrigued to see how India go about it, and I'm also super intrigued to see how New Zealand go about it. You know, I think pound for pound, I do have to say that I think India outbat New Zealand, pound for pound, that. But I'm quite interested to see, you know, because I always see that New Zealand, it's always that one, two guys that always become the hero. It's not really, you know, you have like each person scoring like a 40, 50, something like that, that are contributing. It's like someone who's scoring a massive century. And, you know, it's cool. Not, it might not be, you know, like the best strategy, but it's a strategy that works, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True. I think it's important to realize that India now is a team of shot makers.
Yep.
We love to play our shots, except maybe a Pujara who's more conventional. You know, both are openers. I don't know if Mayank Agarwal will play. That's a different debate also, you know, which openers do we play? Shubman. And we were talking about Shubman earlier and praising his performances in Australia, but then we went to India and he struggled like anything. So yep. I think, yeah, this is something maybe we can talk about in our future sessions, because maybe do a bit more of a deep dive into each team.
Yep.
And it's going to be really interesting on what happens. I think all three results are very much possible. And I think whatever happens, these teams have done a lot to deserve their place in these finals. There's been points changes, away tours, all of that. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game. And let's just hope for a great one. We'll try and keep you guys updated on whatever happens, and maybe do a bit more of a deep dive in our next session on the strengths and weaknesses of the players. So we just like to thank you for tuning in for our first session. Do let us know what you think. We would love to hear your comments, and we love to have your support. So please share this video with your friends who you think might want to watch, and subscribe to our channel, and, you know, look forward to being with you guys soon again.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, everyone. See you in our next episode.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.